That old saying, the more things change, the more they stay the same, isn't always true. In fact, sometimes things change and stay that way, and it couldn't be more true for job hunting. Yep, some of the rules for finding work are timeless and constant, but others are definitely new, and not learning them could cost you your dream job. Financial planner and teacher Rob West fills us in today. Then it's your calls and questions on any financial topic at 800-525-7000. 800-525-7000. I'm Steve Moore. Job hunting, the new normal. That's next right here on MoneyWise Live. Well, Rob, there was a time when you just polished up the old resume, sent it out, and then waited for a phone call or an email from a hiring manager, but I guess that's pretty much no longer the case, huh?
Well, only if you have one of the finest resumes on the planet. Now, fortunately, there are a number of things you can do to improve your chances of landing a job.
Okay, and what, pray tell, might those things be?
Well, let's start with one that strikes fear in the hearts of many job seekers, and that's, networking. You have to network it. Let me help you overcome that fear, though. By some estimates, as high as 85% of jobs are filled without ever being advertised. You see, with networking, who you know can be just as important as what you know. Make a plan to contact at least one person you know every day and let them know that you're looking for work and what kind of work you're seeking. Keep a list of people you've talked to and perhaps even notes about the conversation. Now, here's where you overcome the anxiety of networking, though. Always ask the other person if they're also looking. Offer to be on the lookout for opportunities for them as well. Make it more about the other person, and perhaps you won't feel like you're being a burden.
Yeah, that's good. All right. So that rule hasn't changed. What else?
Well, you also have to look for ways to improve your job skills, and that's if you're actively seeking a job or not. It's easier than ever these days to find online classes for additional training. Concentrate on skills that transfer to other types of businesses or industries, for example, things like customer service, HR, and even bookkeeping. Then update your resume and LinkedIn profile to show those skills or certifications and specify how they increased revenue or cut expenses in your current or previous jobs.
Okay. You mentioned LinkedIn, so I guess that's another critical area. Using the internet and LinkedIn would be a part of that, huh?
Well, that's exactly right, for sure.
Yeah. All right. So what's changed?
Yeah. Well, we've talked in the past, Steve, about how important it is to never badmouth a previous employer in an interview or online, or I should say on social media. It could be tempting, but no good can come from it. We've also talked about avoiding any kind of objectionable material on social media. The rule was don't put anything you wouldn't want your grandmother to see online. In a career builder survey, interestingly, 57% of employers said they found content on social media that caused them to eliminate an otherwise promising job candidate. So all of that still holds true, but these days you have to take social media to a new level. It's not just about avoiding bad content. You want to use those platforms to highlight your favorable attributes. Listen to this. The same Career Builder survey I referenced before found that 70% of employers use social media to check up on candidates, and this should drive the point home. 43% said that an applicant's social media content contributed to their decision to extend a job offer. That's how important social media has become. So you want to use Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram to highlight your skills and interests.
Yeah, and if you have weird vacation photos of yourself, or, I mean, just, you know, be aware that people, as you've mentioned, are checking up these days. So remember your grandma. All right, fair enough. So what's an entirely new rule, maybe, that we could follow when job hunting?
Well, you also have to be able to make a good impression in a video interview, and this is somewhat new. You know, it took a coronavirus pandemic to show employers that they could save a lot of time and trouble by doing interviews on Zoom and Skype.
Wow.
If you've never used them before, and that's becoming less likely all the time, but if you haven't, set up a practice session with a friend or a family member to get comfortable with the process. Position your computer so there's a professional-looking background, or at least nothing that appears untidy. Adjust your camera so you're eye level to the interviewer, and you also want to dress much like you would for an in-person interview, no t-shirts. Alert others in the house not to disturb you during the interview, and close the noise to keep the noise out from the rest of the house.
That's right. There are always those barking dogs who want to get in on the act. He's Rob West. I'm Steve Moore. It's Money Wise Live, 800-525-7000.
Many people adopt an attitude toward marriage and finances that it'll all work out somehow. But sadly, it often doesn't. Financial woes can devastate a marriage, but there is a better way. God's Way. Money and Marriage God's Way by Howard Dayton will help you discover God's approach to growing your finances, strengthening your relationship with your mate, and cultivating godly joy. Money and Marriage God's Way is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Our friends at Sound Mind Investing have been helping Christians reach their financial goals since 1990 with step-by-step guidance for investors just getting started, making choices in a 401k, or getting ready for retirement, all grounded in God's Word. The SMI slogan is Financial Wisdom for Living Well. More information is available online at soundmindinvesting.org. The SMI website also includes articles about common money management and investing topics. soundmindinvesting.org.
Hey, I found something. Man, is this nice. And look, listen to the sound. Tick, tick, tick. And the cover on the back should pry right off. There.
Wow. All those little round wheels turning together. Incredible.
Isn't that?
Imagine how many millions of years it must have taken to make that happen.
Huh?
Yeah, the rocks. They must have ground together.
Rocks?
Millions of years.
Millions?
And formed all those little wheels.
What are you talking about?
Then after more millions of years, they just happened to link together.
Happen?
And make that little noise. Tick, tick, tick.
It's a watch. It's a watch, okay?
A watch?
Yes, a watch. A skilled craftsman put it together.
He did?
Yes. How could something as complex as that just happen? And I don't care how many millions of years you gave it.
Some people look at humanity and believe it just happened. Over millions of years, the human body is much more complex than a watch and beyond what even our top scientists can develop. Stop and think about it. What do you believe?
If the heavy burden of debt is robbing you of freedom and peace of mind, Christian Credit Counselors can help. We're a nationwide nonprofit credit counseling organization that has helped over 300,000 individuals in the last 27 years get out of credit card debt 80% faster while honoring that debt in full. To learn how Christian Credit Counselors can help you, visit ChristianCreditCounselors.org. That's ChristianCreditCounselors.org. Or call 800-557-1985.
Hey, nice to have you with us today. It's MoneyWise Live. Rob West here in the studio, ready and willing to take your calls at 800-525-7000. We've been talking about, for the first portion here, job hunting, the new normal, lots of new things going on these days as far as interviewing workers, finding a job, networking, now video interviews. And obviously, Rob, that's something that you and I probably have never done. But yeah, I mean, the whole world's changing. That includes technology, right?
Well, that's exactly right. This is part of our new normal, I think, is a much greater reliance on webcams and meetings that are virtual that have a video component to them, and everything from doctor's visits to job interviews. I think we're going to see a lot more of this. So being able to think through it, have the right equipment, have the right setting, have the right protocol, especially if you have a busy household, is going to be key to being able to conduct business online, do it effectively. And by the way, the good news is you'll save a lot of time in terms of commuting around town, depending on where you live.
Wow.
So just a part of the new reality, Steve. I think the other point that I would also mention is you want to have a copy of your resume or other related paperwork handy in case the interviewer refers to it, so you can reference back to certain things. And I would always encourage you to follow up the online interview with an email no later than the next day. So be prompt in that. Think through it. Perhaps have somebody proofread it for you just so you put a good foot forward in terms of your presentation. But make sure you communicate quickly.
So following up the next day with a brief email, it won't be seen as pushy or anything like that. You're just wanting them to know that you appreciated their time and you're looking forward to pursuing it if that's their bent, right?
Absolutely. I completely concur with that.
Okay. Ever have, I know you've interviewed a lot of people yourself, and probably you've had more than one or two interviews yourself as a younger man. Any memorable job interviews on either level for you?
I think the ones that always stand out to me positively when I'm interviewing someone is when they've taken the time to get to know the organization that I'm with, that they're interviewing for a position with, and they've thought through how their skills can specifically connect with advancing either the mission of the nonprofit organization or the primary mm-hmm. business activities of the corporation, so they can really relate how they would add value in a tangible way beyond just the skills that could apply to any particular job situation. So I think going the extra mile, perhaps even talking to some folks about the organization ahead of time, and again, thinking through how you specifically can add value and then referencing that is always something that will stand out in the eyes of the interviewer.
Good. Great information. Okay. Again, phone number 800-525-7000. After the program today, we'll be doing our own job interviews. If you've ever wanted to be on the radio, this might be your day. Or maybe not. Chicago, Illinois, Sheldon, how can we help you, sir?
Hello, gentlemen. I hope you're staying safe, keeping the mask in the car every time you need it.
Yes, sir.
Yeah.
I just kind of had an off-topic question real quick, if you could answer it for me. What do you think of Acorn Investments, where they invest your change, your spare change, every time that you make a purchase? What do you think of that? Well, should I do it?
Yeah, I think, Sheldon, first of all, I would just say Acorns is one of a number of these new fintech apps that we're seeing coming into the market that allow you to automate, whether it's savings or investments, often at a low cost in a way that is often you can set it and forget it. And they're very effective. They're often used by folks who are especially just getting started with investing and coming up with creative ways to create some forced savings. So that's really the pro on the side of Acorns in particular, and this would apply to many of them. There's no minimum investment to get started. They've got a creative approach where you can invest your spare change by rounding up. So if you're not familiar with them, one of the things that Acorns does is when you attach a particular account, every time you spend money, it'll round up to the next dollar, and the difference between what you spent and the next dollar will be automatically deposited into your savings. So just a creative way to systematically make these micro deposits, if you will, that add up over time. It's in particularly great for college students because the service is free. They want to get you into their system and begin you to use it. You can access fractional shares, and there's a range of investment portfolios that make it fairly easy to pick a conservative portfolio all the way to aggressive. Now, the downside is, the fees tend to be pretty high if you have a small balance. And so you just have to be aware of that because of the way they charge. It seems like it's not a lot of money, but when you look at it as a percentage of a real small balance as you are getting started, it actually is quite expensive. They also don't offer any tax advantage investment options like what's called tax loss harvesting or any tax services of any kind. There's no human interaction or advice available. They have customer service, of course, but no financial planners or any advice capacity. And although they have those portfolios you can choose from that make it very simple, there's very little in the way of investment options for those that want to have a more robust offering available to them. So I think at the end of the day, I like the notion behind Acorn. I like the systematic investments. I like this movement that we've seen toward fin technology, financial technology that makes investing and saving more accessible for anybody. But I think it's really geared towards somebody who's just starting out or having trouble saving. If you can do it, you've got the discipline, you can probably find cheaper ways to do it without all the bells and whistles.
Sheldon, we're glad you called today, and we hope that works out well for you, whatever you decide. Thanks very much. Let's stay in Chicago. And Tony, you're on MoneyWise Live.
Hello.
Hi. How can we help?
Good afternoon, gentlemen. So, yeah, so I've always enjoyed your show, and, you know, there's wisdom in counsel. So I wanted to get your input on this mortgage procedure that allows you to pay off your mortgage balance in 5 to 7 years by using a HELOC. Have you heard about that?
Yeah, basically where you move everything over to the home equity line of credit with the variable rate, and then you pay your bills out of it. But the idea is that you keep, you put everything on the HELOC, and with the simple interest plus the fact that, as you get paid, you're paying it down. You have less days where you still owe the money, which saves you on the interest. I mean, is that the big idea?
Well, they're not showing me all the cards. They want to charge me $2,000 for that procedure. So I don't know how it works, but yeah. I wanted to just get your input because, counsel and being wise go hand in hand. So.
Yeah, well, I appreciate that, Tony. We're hearing more and more about this lately, and it's not a scam per se, although there may be some doing it that I would not feel good about in terms of how they're approaching it. But the concept is sound. The reason I don't advocate for it is that it tends to be a bit complicated. It's often very difficult to understand. It requires a lot of steady cash flow. If you have a disruption in your cash flow, that can create some real problems. It tends to be expensive in the sense that, as you said, oftentimes the companies that are helping you do this will charge large upfront fees. And I just like more of a conventional approach to managing your money with a fixed rate mortgage, especially in this low interest rate environment where you can lock it in as opposed to using the variable rate where you're not constantly paying down the HELOC and then paying your bills against it and charging it up and charging it down and trying to play this game to save interest. I realize that the math works on paper, but I just think the potential challenges with the variable interest rate, the complexity, and the need for somewhat large and consistent and regular cash flow to be able to float this strategy, tends to make it something that I'm just not attracted to. So instead, what I'd rather you do, Tony, is just lock in that conventional rate mortgage, limit your lifestyle, live on a balanced budget, create margin, and then send extra payments as you're able to pay down that mortgage, assuming you've got your emergency fund in place, you're doing your giving regularly, and you're on track with your other goals like retirement.
Tony, great question. Lots of others have wondered about the same thing, so I'm glad you got that information in for us today. This is MoneyWise Live. Your calls at 800-525-7000. Please stick around.
Many people adopt an attitude toward marriage and finances that it'll all work out somehow, but sadly, it often doesn't. Financial woes can devastate a marriage, but there is a better way. God's Way. Money and Marriage God's Way by Howard Dayton will help you discover God's approach to growing your finances, strengthening your relationship with your mate, and cultivating godly joy. Money and Marriage God's Way is available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Hebrews 4:12 says, "For the word of God is quick and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword." Here's Beth Moore with a quick word.
When we think in terms of a flooding, of hurricanes, of tornadoes, of tsunamis, of all the things that we have seen, here's what I want you to consider with me. All of these things are not what the earth is doing to us. It is what we have done to the earth. Because the lack of cooperation now is not just the earth going, "I'm not going to cooperate with you." It is that it is now subject to bondage. The earth, literally, from the point that man fell, all creation went into bondage. And it's subjected to that bondage causes such pain and such rhythmic pain. And I believe We see that across the face of the earth continually, that even though we cannot explain what's going on, I can tell you, I don't know what's going on in the heavenlies through floods and famines and hurricanes and earthquakes. But this I can tell you, but I know this, the earth is groaning. And you can feel something rising in the air, a climactic point that we're getting nearer and nearer to. I don't think it takes a rocket scientist or somebody with all sorts of theology doctorates to be able to say something is going on, and it is troubling and it is disturbing.
You've been listening to A Quick Word with Beth Moore. Beth would love for you to tune in each Tuesday night for Bible study. Class begins at 9:30 p.m. Eastern, 8:30 Central on TBN. Maybe you had to miss a Tuesday. No problem. Go to BethMoore.org. That's BethMoore.org.
Do you know if you have enough? Enough money? Enough house? Do you know how much is enough? If not, Ron Blue can help with his book, Master Your Money, a step-by-step plan for experiencing financial contentment. Learn how to save, invest, and give wisely, how to create a long-term financial plan, and how to get out of debt. You'll find it all in Master Your Money by Ron Blue. Available when you click the store button at moneywiselive.org.
Our previous caller, Tony, reminded us that it's always good to get advice before you pull the trigger on something substantial. Obviously, the Bible reminds us of the very same thing. Proverbs 15:22 says, without consultation, plans are frustrated, but with many counselors, they succeed. Just make sure that you're choosing good counselors and counselors that have the same mindset that you have, preferably counselors who are believers as well. Let's continue on by going to Glencoe, Illinois. Hello, Lori. How can we help you?
Hi there. So Hi. I have a father that recently had a stroke this past year and is incapacitated. I therefore stepped in and took over the finances to help my mom and found out that my dad had let my adult brother, who has a family, use a credit card. And he racked up $30,000 worth of debt that he has not paid. He hasn't paid the minimum. And now my mother has a $2,000 minimum to pay. And so me and my other brother are now stepping in. And first of all, relationship is the most important. We want to help my younger brother who did this. But we also want to make sure my parents' credit is not trashed because they have a lot of things coming down the pipe with my dad's care that they're going to need, you know, financial freedom that they've always supported in their life. So I guess I'm asking, is it a personal loan we should prompt him to take? Is it transferring it to a credit card? What would be some options?
Lori, have you all confronted him about this at this point?
We are going to at the end of the week.
I see.
But we don't want to just confront with chastisement. We want to say, here's some solutions, and we're here to support you with the solution.
Sure. Well, I appreciate what you're saying about the relationship being more important, and I assume he will as well, although I suspect his knowing that you all are aware of this is going to immediately cause him to put up some defense there, and because that's going to be something that will be troubling for him to hear, I suspect. And yet you all are doing the right thing by stepping in, recognizing that what was perhaps intended for his good and to help out, he has taken advantage of and is now not carrying his end of the bargain, which is why we shouldn't ever, and why the Bible is very clear about not ever co-signing, because the FTC, the Federal Trade Commission, says that 50% of the time we co-sign on behalf of someone else, they will not make the payments as agreed, which is precisely why they needed the co-signer in the first place. When it comes to a credit card, unfortunately, as you're aware, parents, your mom and dad, will be held responsible for those charges. Typically, issuers ban the practice of letting someone else use your card just for this reason, although it's not illegal. But most credit card agreements carry a statement that say something to the effect of, if you let someone else use the card, you're responsible for all transactions that person makes. So ultimately, at the end of the day, to your question about protecting their credit rating, they're legally responsible for this debt, even though they weren't the ones that charged it, because they allowed him to do it. And if it's not paid on time, it will be reported that way, and that's going to affect them, not him. So the key is, I think, being prayed up, asking the Lord to give you some wisdom here and to intervene in this conversation. I think number two is confronting him about the situation, really with a desire to help him to be able to take responsibility for this debt that he's incurred, but also acknowledging that you're in a position, you and your other brother, of providing some counsel and assistance to your parents, and they just don't have the financial means to cover this, nor was that their intention. I think at that point, you know, where you go from there includes A, making sure to the ability they can that the account stays current because we don't want it to get past due because, again, they are the ones solely responsible for it. But then secondly, perhaps, as you said, providing some solutions to your brother. I think the first thing is finding out what is the current state of his financial situation. Hopefully, he has the ability to step in and at the very least begin making payments, perhaps you know, putting it on a debt management program like with our friends at ChristianCreditCounselors.org, where there would be a low fixed monthly payment at a reduced interest rate. The card would be canceled, so they'd have to get another card if they wanted to have an active credit card for their use only. But that would allow him to build into his budget you know, a monthly payment that would actually make some progress in reducing the debt because through debt management, the credit card interest rate would be reduced. And there would probably not be as much in the way of an upfront monthly payment that you have now. It would probably be considerably lower. So what I would suggest is that that be perhaps the first course of action. I would also suggest that you say that you all want to him to have accountability with that process of the budgeting, making sure that the payment will fit into his spending plan and that he you know, has some accountability that that payment is made every month as an on-time payer. And if you all don't feel like it's good relationally for you all to be the ones providing that accountability, perhaps one of our MoneyWise coaches could serve in that role. You can find those folks at MoneyWiseLive.org. Just click on Connect with a Coach, and they could perhaps work with him to set up the budget, the spending plan, and then work with Christian Credit Counselors to build that into the plan. The only other option would be for him just to take it over, get a personal loan, as you said, and then just pay it off. That would be best, but I suspect because of the situation they find themselves in, he may not qualify for that. And so we need a plan B. We're about out of time here. Why don't you stay on the line? We'll finish the conversation off the air during the break, but we really appreciate you calling, Lori, and we'll certainly be praying for you as you have this conversation.
Lori, you and your brother have certainly taken the high road on this, and we'll pray that it works out well for the entire family, and we will be right back.
Investing is more than just returns. It's an expression of who you are and what you value. Does the way you invest your money reflect your identity as a Christian? At Eventide, we design investments for performance and a better world, so you can invest with the confidence to reach your financial goals while remaining true to your Christian values and commitments. We call this investing that makes the world rejoice. More is available at investeventide.com. That's investeventide.com.
Christian Healthcare Ministries enables believers to show love for one another by sharing each other's health costs. Through CHM's voluntary health cost sharing programs, members uplift each other spiritually and financially. CHM is an eligible option under the Affordable Care Act and a Better Business Bureau accredited charity. Interested? Learn more by calling 800-791-6225 or online at chministries.org.
Hi, this is Steve Moore of MoneyWise Live, and this is the Moody Radio Verse of the Week. It's 1 Peter 2, 1 through 3. Therefore, rid yourselves of all malice and all deceit, hypocrisy, envy, and slander of every kind. Like newborn babies, crave pure spiritual milk, so that by it you may grow up in your salvation, now that you have tasted that the Lord is good. That's 1 Peter 2, 1 through 3, the Moody Radio Verse of the Week.
Like a seasoned angler, our enemy, the devil, opens his tackle box and selects the lure most likely to attract his intended prey. The lure is a lie. Each lie we bite on causes us to feel pain, injure a relationship, or miss out on God's intended purpose for our lives. Are lies holding you back? Discover the power of the truth. Lies Men Believe. Available at moodypublishers.com.
Attention, MoneyWise Live listeners. If you don't like free stuff, please change the station now. Still with us? Great. You can get free access today to the new MoneyWise e-magazine, packed with valuable expert articles, practical tips, and biblical wisdom. You'll even find exclusive podcast episodes you won't hear anywhere else. Your MoneyWise e-magazine subscription is waiting for you at moneywiselive.org/signup.
With SRN News, I'm John Scott. The funeral service for George Floyd in Houston has ended. Hundreds had packed the church. Floyd will now be taken to Pearland for burial next to his mother. The remnants of Tropical Storm Cristobal are moving across parts of the Midwest after lashing the south, unleashing downpours and bringing gusty winds. Heavy rain hit Missouri this morning, and the National Weather Service says Cristobal is expected to intensify later in the day as another weather system approaches from the west and begins to interact with it. High winds are expected in Chicago by tonight. Cristobal may produce flash flooding, isolated river flooding, as well as tornadoes. Stocks are closing mixed on Wall Street as a weeks-long rally hits the brakes. The Dow fell 300 points today. The Nasdaq gained 29, but the S&P 500 was off 25. This is SRN News.
You're listening to MoneyWise Live, where we meet each day to encourage each other to manage our money biblically and effectively. And if we can help you today with a specific situation you're in the midst of or wondering about, give us a call toll-free, 800-525-7000, down to Boca Raton, Florida. Darrell, thank you for your patience, and what's your question?
Okay. I have a 401k with a company that I was working with, and I'm no longer with them. They sent me paperwork, and they are asking me whether I want to take the money out or I would have to find another investment to another IRA to roll the money over in. I'm not sure what to do. I did talk to the company that it's with now, asking them about their IRA, but that didn't sound too promising. So I was thinking I should take the money out. They said because I'm over 59.5, all I'll pay is 20% tax on the money, but I won't be penalized. So what would your suggestion be for me?
Darrell, I appreciate the question. How much do you have roughly in that account, that 401k with the previous employer?
It's not a lot. It's like $4,000 and change.
Okay. All right. Yeah, you've got a couple of options. Are you retired now, or are you with a new company?
No. I'm sorry.
Yeah. That's okay. No, are you retired?
No, I'm not retired as yet, no.
Okay, so are you with a new company that also offers a 401k?
Yes, I'm with a company that offers a 401k, yes.
Okay, so you've got a couple of options. Option one is you roll it into that 401k if the plan administrator will allow it, and that way you'd have all of your retirement assets in one place. You wouldn't have this extra account sitting out there, this IRA that you'd have to keep up with and make sure is managed properly and all of those things. And so that would just, from a simplicity standpoint, that would probably be the simplest approach. Have you looked into the possibility of moving the money into your new 401k?
Well, I wasn't sure what to do. I just received the packet yesterday, so okay. I was just trying to make the wisest decision.
Okay. Well, I think that'd be my first choice. Call the plan administrator with your new 401k and just tell them, and they do this all the time. I have a previous 401k with a previous employer. I'd like to roll that money into this new 401k with you, and they'll tell you how to go about that, and then you can start that process. Then, as you make new contributions to your new 401k and you select the investment strategy, you'll just move this money into that same strategy and everything's in one place. Option two is, because it's a smaller sum of money, this isn't tens of thousands of dollars, you could in fact take it out if there's a reason. But if you don't have a reason where you'd need it, I'd rather you not pay the tax on it now and just let it keep growing so you have it down the road when you do need it in retirement. And that's why I'd probably opt for putting it in to the 401k. You could put it into an IRA at Charles Schwab or Betterment or one of those where you'd have more of like a robo-advisor approach. They would ask you a series of questions, and based on your answers, they would build a low-cost ETF portfolio using something called indexes, where you essentially own pieces of the broad stock and bond market consistent with your age, goals, and objectives and risk tolerance, and the money would just be invested for you automatically at a low cost. That would be fairly simple, but it does add another account that you're going to have to get a statement for and keep track of and oversee. And that's why I would prefer you to go into the 401k as my first option. Do you follow that, though?
Yes, I do. Thank you.
Okay. You're very welcome, Darrell. God bless you.
Thanks, Darrell. All right, continuing on out to Spokane, Washington. Yana, what's your situation and how can we help you?
Hello, my name is Yana. I'm a college student and I've been using Stash for a little over a year now. Uh-huh. And I thought it was time to move on to another investing platform. But to do so, I think you have to take out all of your investments and then start another account somewhere else. But I wasn't sure if that was the smartest idea or if I should just leave that money in that account so it can grow throughout the years and start investing in a new platform. I do have to pay $1 a month to have that Stash account.
Yeah. And how much are you putting into the account, Yana, on a regular basis?
I have like an auto payment of like $10 every 2 weeks or something. So right now I have about $700 in that account.
Okay. All right. Very good. Well, one of the benefits of Acorns, which we were talking about earlier, is my understanding is, I know at least for the savings portion, you'd have to check on the investment portion, is the service is free for college students. So that may be something to look into. Another one is called Robinhood, although that one you'd be picking individual investments. So if you want something that's more automated, I think you could stay with Stash. You'd end up paying with the dollar management fee that you referenced and the 30 basis points that you'd pay for the investment expenses, you'd probably you're probably paying about 0.5%, which is not necessarily a lot. I think the key is that you're consistently contributing on a systematic basis using this automatic debit. I love that. And that you get it working for you in not an individual stock or stocks where you're highly concentrated, but where you're using index funds to invest in the broad market and just capture the overall moves of the market. And if you do that as a young a person over many decades, you're going to end up with a lot of money that you can give away and use for your retirement and all kinds of things. I think the key is just to stay with that automatic approach. So Stash is an option. You could take a look at Acorns. Another one that I really like is called Betterment, BETTERMENT. And it would offer a similar type of approach using those indexed ETFs that I like a lot. But I think with any one of those, you would be well served just to keep making those contributions and keep that money working for you over time. Does that make sense?
Yeah. So just keep that account active and
I would be fine with that. Do you know how it's invested? Are they using index funds or are you in individual stocks or how are they doing that?
I just pick I mostly invest in ETFs and okay. You just kind of pick where you want to invest.
Okay. Yeah, very good. So you probably have ETFs that are indexed ETFs. So you're buying a large cross-section of the market, which is really the way to go. You don't want to try to pick the winners and losers. You just want to be able to capture the market's upside over a long period of time. So I would just say stay at it. You're doing a great job. And if you have other questions along the way, give us a call back.
Okay.
Yeah. Jana, you really are doing a great job, and congratulations. We wish you the best as you go forward. This is MoneyWise Live with Rob West. Our phone number is 800-525-7000. Rob, just a couple of seconds here left to mention the MoneyWise e-magazine, something we're excited about, something that you and your staff have been working on for many months now. Quickly tell us about it.
Yeah, absolutely, Steve. So the MoneyWise e-magazine is a great new resource that's completely free. We'd love for you to sign up. This quarter's topic is Embracing Financial Hope. If you go to MoneyWiseLive.org, just click on the subscribe button right near the top of the page. Give us your email address. We won't use it for any other purpose other than to communicate with you and to send you the quarterly e-magazine. The new edition will be out in the next 30 days, so be watching your email box for that. But head over to MoneyWiseLive.org to sign up right now.
That's right. Financial hope. What's that mean, Rob? Where do we put our hope when it comes to our finances? Is it
in
the
God's money? And so we're managing it for him, Steve.
All righty. And we will be right back.
God cares a great deal more about our money than most of us imagine. In fact, Jesus says more about our use of money and possessions than about anything else, including both heaven and hell. In Managing God's Money, author Randy Alcorn breaks it all down in a simple, easy-to-follow format that makes it the perfect reference tool if you're interested in gaining a solid biblical understanding of money, possessions, and eternity. Managing God's Money is available when you click the store button at MoneyWiseLive.org.
This is Barry McGuire. I'm a car guy, and I'm here to help you understand God's purpose for your life through the eyes of a layman. Are you at a point in your life where you're running so fast you don't even have time to think about sharing your faith, leave alone pray and study God's word? Surely God must understand. The problem is, he understands all too well. He understands that whatever it is that's keeping you so busy is more important to you than his purpose for making you. It's important to put it into perspective that anything that takes your attention away from God has become your God. And when that happens, you've surrendered all the blessings he's promised to those who live for him and his purpose. You're not experiencing the joy of the Lord. You're missing out on all the fun of being a Christian, all the rewards that come with it. Your job is to ignite revival outside the walls of your church by moving everyone every day closer to Jesus. If you need help doing that, go to ROTW.com.
Hi, I'm Johnny Erickson Tata. Recently, I saw an exhibit about the 60s, flower power shirts, peace symbols, posters for the Beatles. For me, though, it was a depressing era. The late 60s was when I became paralyzed, stuck in a hospital. I went through 7 surgeries and almost 2 years of rehabilitation. Well, after I left the exhibit, I tried to recall what those, quote, bad old days really felt like. There was no way I could revive the heart-wrenching anguish I experienced back in the hospital. Isn't it amazing how, when we look back on a sad time, we are not able to relive the actual pain? And maybe that's why, when we suffer, the Bible constantly tells us to look to the future. It is always pushing an end time perspective. So, are you hurting today? Well, God wants to give you hope and a future. Because when you're convinced of that, you'll come out the other side really smiling.
Would you like your life to be infused with joy? Would you like to interject an eternal dimension into even the most ordinary day? Author Randy Alcorn says you can when you discover the Treasure Principle. In a concise, power-packed style, this newly revised and updated book offers a 6-step plan to finding the immediate pleasure and eternal rewards of the Treasure Principle. And once you discover it, life will never look the same. The Treasure Principle is available when you click the store button at MoneyWiseLive.org.
Good to have you with us today on MoneyWise Live. We hope you're having a great day and that God is blessing you. Let's go right back to our phone lines. Let's go out to Ohio. And Liz, do you have a question for Rob?
Hello, thanks for taking my call.
Yes.
I'm calling about our daughter's COVID-19 stimulus check. She has not received it, and she checked with the IRS, and it said that she was ineligible based on a discrepancy between her tax return and her employer's tax return. She filed her 218 return. She has not filed 219 yet. she has emailed us and not heard. She called them and spent hours on hold and never talked to anybody. She's emailed her former employer. She was employed as an independent contractor with a real estate agency.
Okay.
And she, at the time, she never saw a pay stub. They paid her with a handwritten paper check. So we're wondering, what does she do now? It seems like perhaps something funky was going on at their end.
Hmm. Liz, did she receive a 1099 from the real estate company?
Yes, and an accountant, the company accountant did her taxes for her for 2018.
Okay, and are you saying that the 1099 had a number on it of compensation that was not consistent with what she believed she had been paid?
I don't know how those numbers lined up. That's what was done with her. She filed her 218. That's what she used. That's what the COVID-19 was based on, was her 2018 return. So,
well, no, she's going to need to. Has she filed her 2019 taxes yet?
No.
Okay. So she's going to need to file her 2019 return in order to get that stimulus check.
Okay. Even though it said that it file your 2019 yet, they'd base it on your 2018?
Yeah, but my understanding is that because of her situation as an independent contractor, she's going to need to go ahead and file that 2019 return. It would probably be worth, Liz, just because of the number of questions going on here with the discrepancy that you're talking about, as well as the fact that there's some confusion about that 2018 return and that she hasn't gotten her stimulus check yet, which, by the way, I saw just the other day that still 30 million checks haven't gone out. So there's a lot of people that haven't. It would be worth visiting with a tax preparer, perhaps somebody else. You could get a recommendation from your church, or you could go to our website, moneywiselive.org, find a CKA in your area that could refer you to a godly tax preparer. But I think at the end of the day, we need to try to get this sorted out. Perhaps an amended return needs to be filed, or at the very least, you need to ask for a corrected 1099 if it was in error. But she has the ability to file with whatever she believes she was paid, even if she has to amend the return. And then if the IRS challenges it based on the 1099 that they also received from her employer, then she can provide the backup documentation. But I think she could get both of these issues sorted out. But she does need to file her 2019 taxes. And her 2019 return should get by the problem if they're basing it on her 2018 return, which was creating the issue in the first place. So does she have the ability to go ahead and file 2019? Because I think that could resolve it.
She was trying to delay it because she knows she's going to owe. And she, unfortunately, she just became – she received her real estate license in February.
I see.
We know what happened in March. So,
Okay.
That's why.
Well, there's just too many moving parts here. I think somebody needs to look into this a bit further. So I'd connect with a CPA or an accountant that could help you sort this out and perhaps advise you on your next step and see if we can't resolve the 2018 issue and at the same time get her in the queue for that stimulus check. I'm sorry we couldn't give you the detailed information on it. I think there's just too many moving pieces, but we certainly do appreciate you calling and thinking of us today.
Thank you very much, Liz. Time going by quickly. Let's go out to Spokane, Washington. Denise, what's going on in your life?
Hi. I was just calling to see if you might have any suggestions. I have two children that just graduated from college this year.
Wow.
And so they're both looking to consolidate some school loans. And I know my son, he actually graduated in December, and my daughter just graduated in May. And looking to consolidate those loans. They both have excellent credit ratings and really no debt other than their household and rent, et cetera. But finding it hard to get, because in their new positions, of course, they're at the bottom of the pay scale or newer, for newer employees and fresh college graduates. And so they're finding it hard to find lenders that will, finance their long-term, you know, financial or school loans because they're not, you know, the income level that they want is there, even though they have good credit ratings and they can sure. afford, you know, their new payments. So what do you suggest?
Yeah. Are you trying to end up in a situation where you all are wanting to remove yourselves from responsibility here, or are these loans that you're not a part of currently?
I'm a part of my daughter's, you know, her initial loans that she received for school, and I'm not worried about that.
Okay.
You know, I'm happy to help continue to help her with that. But, you know, they so my son, for example, he has, you know, a loan with Sally Mae and then a loan with another institution. He wants to just combine them so he has one payment instead of, you know, two or three. And
yeah.
so do they just need to keep making those individual payments until their income does increase and they can, you know, do that? Or, you know, is there something, a website that has some lenders they can check out? I'm not sure.
Sure. And are these federal loans currently?
Partly, yes. Gabriel
okay.
has some federal loans, and then he has some private with Sally Mae, for
yeah.
example, and
Well, here's the thing. So you can do what's called a direct consolidation loan, which allows you to consolidate or essentially combine multiple federal education loans into one loan, which simplifies in the sense that the result is a single monthly payment instead of multiple payments. And you preserve, which is key, you preserve the repayment and forgiveness options. So with a federal loan, there's a certain provisions for income-based repayment if they have low income or they run into a hardship now or in the future, or they qualify, which it's very rare that you do, but many people certainly can if you're in the right profession. You know, you preserve the ability to qualify for forgiveness for a forgiveness program like the teacher's loan forgiveness and others. So that's the benefit of not refinancing with a private loan, is you preserve all of that. If the goal is to reduce the interest rate and consolidate it, and you're willing to give up the flexible repayment options, then they could try to reduce the interest rate with a private loan. The problem is what you said is going to be true because they're just starting out, even though they have decent credit, they just don't have the income to support it unless you're wanting to, you know, sign on their behalf. So they're probably going to be in a better position just to stick with what they have and perhaps consider the direct consolidation loan to simplify it so they're not paying on multiple loans, but preserve all the flexibility in the income-based payment options. Does that make sense? Denise, are you still
sorry.
With us?
Oh, I'm sorry, yes. Now, the direct... Okay. Yes, I'm sorry. I thought you were talking to your co-host.
No. Go ahead.
The direct consolidation, does that pertain to the, you know, the subsidized and then subsidized loans, the federal loans only?
It does.
That's what
yes.
you're talking
about,
right?
So, okay, correct.
Yeah.
So with a private loan, you could refinance it. But again, that's where you're going to run into a situation where if there's not the income to support it and you don't want to co-sign, they're going to struggle to get a better rate at this point with a private refi, even though those are all, you know, those options are out there. If you're also signing on it, though, because you did previously and you're going to do that again, then just understand you need to be ready, willing, and able to step in the event they can't make the payment. And then you may find a situation where, because there's a competitive environment out there, where you could actually refinance it and reduce the interest rate. But yes, the consolidation is only going to apply to the federal loans unless you're willing to give up the loan forgiveness and the repayment flexibility, and then you can consolidate everything into a new private loan.
And Denise, we hope that helps you, you and your children. Thank you very much. And let's try to squeeze in one more, Rob. Artis calling us from Arlington, Minnesota.
Hi, Artis. Thanks for calling today. How can we help?
Hi. I'm calling because I heard a few months, within the last month or two, I thought it was on your program, that you had listed or talked about investing in Christian companies
yeah.
rather than just picking what was strictly available from your advisor, your investment advisor.
Sure.
Do you have
mm-hmm.
a list of that?
You know, there's a couple of ways to go about that. One place that I would direct you to is eventide.com. Our friends at Eventide do a lot of writing, and you'd find a lot of great information on an emerging a segment of the investment universe called values-based or faith-based investing. And the Eventide family of funds would be a great place to start. If you're looking for evaluating individual stocks, there are some of those options as well, where you could actually go through a screening process to actually look at an individual company and evaluate that particular company based on certain screens that are human rights screens and environmental screens and business ethics screens and social. And, you know, you name it. And you can screen out certain companies based on their business practices and whether they conflict with faith values. So a place to go to look at that would be InspireInsight.com, InspireInsight.com. And hopefully between Eventide.com and InspireInsight.com, that'll get you started.
Thank you very much, Artis. We do appreciate your call. Thank you. You've been listening to MoneyWise with your host, Rob West. I'm Steve Moore. We want you to know that MoneyWise Live is a partnership between Moody Radio and MoneyWise Media. Thanks for listening. Drive safely. Have a great day. Join us again tomorrow.